Civilization, where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.
So listen, David Ash, this gentleman who's been around for a long time doing very interesting things. He himself came to speak at the Glastonbury Symposium some years ago. But tonight I think we're going to get something rather new, and as you can see, with a musical element as well. And we're really looking forward to this. And we're going to hear about super energy, the quantum vortex, and how this ties in with a lot of things that maybe we should be talking about more than we are. So, I introduce to you Mr. David Ash. Thank you very much.
The word sabai in the Thai language means blessing. So, the Thai people will say sabai sabai. Okay. And so, what I want to do is I want to talk about super energy, which is a new word for the supernatural. Okay, the supernormal. But basically what I'm doing is I'm actually putting the supernatural, the spiritual, and the supernormal onto a scientific platform. So we don't need the sort of religious language anymore. We can actually use physics, we can use quantum theory to back up the spiritual dimensions. So if you like, what I'm doing up until 9 o'clock is the theoretical, and then at 9 o'clock I'm going to ask you all to go up and select a colour that attracts you, and to go back to your seat with your sabai, and we do the practical. In other words, the sabai blessing that I'm going to give you this evening gives you an opportunity for a very real experience of super energy. So it's experiential, it's experiential evening. Also, I bring in music. Now, normally I have my guitar there playing. I could work... I think I know how I can do it. Yes, I could work with the guitar, plug the guitar in, and I could use this microphone, so my voice will come through this microphone, and then my guitar will come through that amp. So I'll work with that in a moment. So that's basically the idea, and what I want to do is to... There's quite a lot to put into a short period of time, but the thing is that if you can... When we go up for the blessing, is just to take whichever colour draws you without thinking too much about it. Just go in and grab what you can. Just if you see a colour and you're drawn to that colour, pick it up. And then I'll tell you which deities the colours represent. Okay, are the other chaps back yet?
I think one more person might still be to come. No, go ahead.
Okay, we'll get started. Okay, how many of you know of Satya Sai Baba? How many of you have heard? Only one person. A few of you. He was an Indian guru who manifested objects out of thin air. He's been dead a few years now. Well, you've all heard of the feeding of the 5,000, but let's talk about that, as you don't know about Satya Sai Baba. Okay? How many of you are familiar with that Bible story? Okay, five loaves and two fishes got to be produced, okay? We've obviously talked about UFOs, so I know we're on good ground there. Basically, what I'm going to do this evening is I'm going to give you physics that will tell you how Satya Sai Baba manifested jewellery and watches out of thin air and gave them to people. And it wasn't magic. It was super energy physics, super energy technology. I'll explain to you how Jesus fed the 5,000. Again, the duplication technology. I'll also explain to you how UFOs work, how they appear and disappear, and how they overcome vast distances of space. But again, it's not the supernatural, it's the super energy, it's understanding the real nature of energy. Okay. So without more ado, at the age of 16, I discovered in a book on ancient yogic philosophy a statement that said that the smallest particles of matter are vortices of prana. And prana is the Indian word, Sanskrit word for energy. And I was galvanized because my father had introduced me to physics, at the age of 7, and then I was 16, I knew enough about physics to know that if yogis in India had anticipated Albert Einstein by thousands of years, it could be that they had the right description of matter, the most smallest particles of matter. So the idea is that the smallest particles of matter are whirlpools of light. And the way they form is because the energy is free to spin freely on any axis, it comes out with a ball. So this is a vortex. When a woman is winding wool onto the ball, it's a vortex. When she's knitting and the ball is unwinding, it's a vortex. It's growing or decaying. And these subatomic vortices are just a lot faster. So the energy is spinning and it produces this corpuscular particle, like so. And this is the electron, the proton, the neutron, the subatomic particle. You all are familiar with that basic atomic structure. Okay? Now the idea is that these vortices, they extend into infinity. And because they are whirlpools of activity, they overlap and they interact. And that causes fields of force, electricity, gravity, magnetism, I explain. And also, the spin of the energy sets up, in the vortex, sets up inertia. You know how you spin a pebble on a pond, and it'll stay in the plane of spin? Well, because this is spinning on all the planes, it resists movement in any direction. It's like gyroscopic spin. So that explains the inertia of mass. So I've been able to explain the whole of physics in this, using this model. And this is the physics. It's called the quantum vortex. Is that a big book? I mean, if you want to study physics and you want to go in and do quantum mechanics or something, it wouldn't be a book that size, it'd be a library, wouldn't it? Okay. So to explain the entire universe from with incredible simplicity. All the forces, the particles. Also, I challenge the Big Bang Theory in here. I challenge quantum mechanics. I disprove quantum mechanics in this book. I use the particles they use to detonate weapons of mass destruction to shatter everything they believe in. Quantum mechanics goes, the quark theory goes. And also, Albert Einstein's general theory of relativity goes. And the replacement requires one paragraph to explain. The general theory of relativity is one of the most complex theories in physics. And to replace it with the vortex theory takes one paragraph. That's why it looks so thin. This other book, this is like a little evolution progress. Those three books, the content of those three books are now under this cover. Super Energy and the Quantum Vortex. Now, if you can get hold of one of these books, I highly recommend you get hold of it and get me to sign it, because this book is being published by a Danish publisher, Millhouse, at the end of this month. But to make sure I had some copies for this talk and one or two other talks, I had 10 copies printed by Print On Demand worldwide in these lovely hard covers. And there are only 10 of these books in existence. So these are first editions, which will be very valuable. Now, this book is a bit thicker, and the thickness of this book is because I'm talking about the spiritual, the supernatural, if you like, which I now call super energy. So how does it work? Well, I've explained the way materialism, the materialistic philosophy is that the universe is formed out of little tiny particles in contemplation. But what I've shown is that that is an illusion set up by spin. You know how they explain away everything they believe in, crop circles, they've got a way of explaining it away, near-death experiences, they explain it away, and they explain everything away. Great. I'm explaining away everything they believe in the university establishments. Everything goes. All explained away by the vortex. So really, really exciting. So it's like our time has arrived, where those of us that want to believe in crop circles and UFOs and other sorts of paranormal phenomena, we've got the science backing us, science behind us. Okay. So how do we do it? Well, the idea is the illusion of Maya, the spin set-up illusion, but an illusion. There's nothing there. The thing about energy is energy is no thing. There's nothing substantial about energy. The universe is formed of particles of energy, which is bits of speed at the speed of common light, 186,000 miles per second, 300 million meters per second. And so the thing is that if you've got particles moving where there's of movement, it's particles of movement where nothing exists that moves, they're more like thoughts than things. They're more like acts of abstraction. They're more like particles of dream. So what quantum theory is showing, and this is quantum mechanics, I challenge quantum mechanics, but the basic quantum theory of Albert Einstein I support and uphold and develop. The basic idea is that everything in our world is formed out of movement at the speed of light, spinning. Everything is relative to the speed of light, okay? And as it spins, as the energy spins, it sets up the illusion of materiality, but there's nothing there. So the universe is a dream. The Aboriginals got it right, the dream state. The universe is a mind. Is it the mind of God, or is God the mind of the universe is? You see, if a quantum of energy, if a particle of energy is a thought form, thoughts are particles of intelligence. And therefore, every particle of energy is intelligent. And so the universe is a collective of intelligence. I mean, you don't need a God outside the universe. The universe is it. And you don't have to have anything creating some material substance. Because actually, the universe is intelligent. It's self-sustaining. It's self-creating. And you know, some people say, oh, well, you know, I believe in some sort of God out there, but not a personal God. Hang on a second. It couldn't get more personal than the quantum being intelligent. But it's almost like the source of everything is in every quantum. Because underlying reality is consciousness. That consciousness is in everything. How many of you have heard this chant, this Buddhist chant, Namyoho Renge-kyo? Have any of you heard that? You have, yeah. I chant it. Namyoho Renge-kyo is saying, remember the mystic law of life in the Lotus Sutra in Japanese. What is that mystic law of life? The mystic law of life is this. You are in the universe, but the universe is inside you. You've got the whole universe in you. It's hard to imagine, but you've only got to go inside and you've got the answer to everything. At the prime level of your being, whatever it is that's looking out of your eyes and hearing through your ears, at this moment is creating and destroying galaxies. It just, there's a bit of a veil. We're in a situation where we're not fully conscious of who we are, because we're here to learn lessons. But actually, each one of you as a human being, it's like we're the one being in many bodies. There's nothing special about it. But you are God incarnate. You don't have to look outside. You find that divinity inside, which is the basis of Buddhism, the basis of meditation. Go inside, and you find it all. So, going back to super energy. If our world is formed out of whirlpools of light at the speed of common light, Could there be other worlds formed out of speeds faster than the speed of light? So that is the, if you like, the speculation. That is the what-if idea. So let's play with that idea for a moment. Imagine there was there were worlds of reality based on energy moving at twice the speed of light. What would our relationship be with that world? Well, basically this. Zero to the speed of light is our world. Zero to the twice the speed of light is that super energy world. But the speed of light is part of twice the speed of light. It's like 30 miles an hour is part of 60 miles an hour. It's part of 90 miles an hour. So the structure of the universe is that our world of physical energy is embedded, is part of the world of super energy. So we're a little bit of a much greater reality. Now this book here starts on near-death experiences in your book. 4 days before Putin invaded Ukraine, an article was published in the Annals of the New York Academy of Sciences. 18 academics put their signatures to this article. In the article they said they have incontrovertible proof of life after death, of near-death experiences, and that should be after-death experiences. The people signing this paper, led by Sam Palmier, say he's a critical care specialist. He doesn't start work on someone until they're dead. And they bring them back. And the near-death experiences are showing that some part of us goes somewhere else when we finish on this planet. The idea that we go out like a candle is a hypothesis that's put out by scientists as fact when it's fiction, like all the other theories that we believe in. The evidence that's now part of the body of science is that this is just a phase we're in. There's part of us that just comes in here and goes out there. And what I'm endeavouring to do is show you where that somewhere else is. I believe people go, when they pass over, into the world of super-energy. And what I'm showing you in this work is very interesting. A lot of near-death experiences, people leave their bodies, it's out-of-body experience, they are still in a body. They can hear, they can see, they can feel their body. And they're looking down at their body. I tell the story of Professor Howard Storman. That's quite a famous near-death experience. He's standing in the hospital. He's just died of a duodenal ulcer, doesn't know. He's more alive than he's ever been. He's in his body, he's standing by the bed. And looking down at this Madame Tussaud wax image of him, and he's really angry. How could anyone be so nasty as to put a wax image of him on the bed? And I call this the two-body dilemma. People are in a body looking at their body. It's like, what's going on? What's me? Where am I? What's going on? You see what I mean? They don't even know they've died. Because this other body is absolutely identical to the body on the bed. Every single one of you, according to my work on the hypothesis, is growing a super energy body, atom for atom, molecule for molecule, cell for cell, absolutely identical to this physical body. And that body is growing alongside, in parallel to the physical body, and it's not even in this dimension. And that body holds your thinking capacity, your feelings. It's all in that body. And that body is resonating with your physical body. And in my book, I explain the resonance through process of how the DNA coil, you know, the super, the double helix, is like a radio coil, perfect for resonance. So your super energy body is resonating with the physical body. And if anything happens to the physical body, it doesn't matter, because you just step out of it. Like a snake shedding its skin. So So we've got something really amazing, because this world we really come from, people say near-death experiences, it's like going home. Because that's where we belong. So we're in these bodies of confusion and bewilderment and amnesia, because the brain, this is all the subtlety, locks our consciousness. Our consciousness is dumbed down by the brain for a very, very good reason. So there's evidence in science for reincarnation. There's a chap called Ian Stevenson, Professor Ian Stevenson at Virginia University, done a huge amount of research. I've got his research in the book as well. Masses of evidence for near-death experiences. All this needs to be explained, and can be explained. Okay? So, according to Immanuel Swedenborg, I don't know whether you've ever heard of him. Well, anyway, he was an 18th century Swede who had a near-death experience and came back with a whole body of teaching. He was a great influence of Rudolf Steiner, of Goethe, of Kant, of the French Impressionists. There were many, many teachers that were profoundly influenced by the teaching of this man. And what he came through with outrageous statements that, like, he said, the Trinity isn't true. Well, that was invented at the Council of Nicaea 300 years after Christ. And he said, it's no good leaving for Christ to redeem you for your sins. You know, we have to do this spiritual work down here. It's up to each individual to work on the spiritual path. And that influences their evolution. But what he said is this. Angels are not created in heaven by God. They arise from the souls of humans deceased. So we are all proto-angels, baby angels. And so I have a chapter in my book called The Room of Angels, talking about this being an angel-making factory. And we're put through lessons that we're put through amnesia, we're put through grief and suffering, because this is where we grow spiritually strong. But also there are angels who incarnate and upgrade and basically improve their station. So here I am talking about angels, and I haven't even explained what angels are. If our world is populated by intelligent beings, I'm assuming you are intelligent in here, okay. And this world really is but a small part of a much greater world. To assume we're the only intelligent beings in the universe is a bit arrogant. Logically, if we're a lesser part of a greater whole, whatever it is, the lesser is going to be in the whole. So there are going to be intelligent beings out there. So what is the difference between us? Well, the speed of the energy that forms them is faster than the speed of energy that we're formed of. Can they see us? Yes, because we are part of their environment. We're part of their world. Can we see them? No, because they are not part. They're beyond us. It's like we're matches in a matchbox. The matchbox can only see, match the match people with the little match heads can only see the walls of their box. But the matchbox is part of the room is part of the house. So the first level out is called the level of the ethers. I call it the soul level. I call it the hyperphysical level in terms of physics. The next one is based on around about twice the speed of light. The next level out, and that's the fourth dimension, we're in the third dimension, fourth dimension, yeah? The next level out, which is the fifth dimension, which I call the superphysical level of reality, is 16 times the speed of light. And that is the fifth dimension. But there are levels beyond that, beyond that, beyond that. Okay? So the thing about these angels, they're all around us. We can't see them. They're moving too fast. You remember that's what they said in the ancient law. Oh, and the fairies at the bottom of the garden. We don't see them because we're too slow and clumsy. It's very interesting how in the ancient law they recognised the difference between us and spirits was a factor of speed. Frequency of vibration is just a metaphor. A different Einsteinian constant between each world. Okay? So, what I'm doing in this book is I'm showing you there's more reason to believe in angels and fairies and quarks and virtual particles of quantum mechanics. So that's what we're doing. We're going to knock out theoretical physics and all major theories and replace it with a theory for angels and fairies. And I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be real, real fun. We'll fit the UFOs and crop circles and everything else in there as well. So, what we've actually got is a situation where this plane is a realm of educating angels, of really bringing us through our paces. And part of the game is the amnesia, the forgetfulness. Okay? We have to build up our faith, we have to build up our trust. That's where the spies come. But you see, I promised you I was going to tell you how UFOs work and how Jesus fed the 5,000 and how Sai Baba works his miracles. And how you can, if you want to, ascend into fifth dimension. And do you know what is online for you guys? If any of you make it through the ascension, you may find on the other side you're no ordinary an angel. You are a seraph. If any of you know anything about angels, seraphs are the highest angelic level. That's why it's so tough down here. That's why it's so challenging. Because the destiny for humanity is so utterly phenomenal. The seraphs are the gods of galaxies. Bodies, the black hole formations that hold the whole galaxy together. You imagine being responsible for hundreds of billions of star systems with trillions of planets populated by countless numbers of living organisms. And you've got to sort out all the problems. So you need the experience of mistakes, of challenges, of difficulties. So that's what we're doing. We're on a learning curve here. So, how do you ascend? How can you get out of this little hellhole and get it down without even going through the death process? It's simple. If I can accelerate the speed of energy in the vortex beyond the speed of light, then the physical vortex will vanish out of this physical domain and appear in the world, based on the speed it's achieved. So if I accelerate the speed of energy to twice the speed of light, it will become hyperphysical. If I accelerate it to 16 times the speed of light, it becomes superphysical. That means there's a potential, this is just a possibility, there's a potential of a technology when every single cell, every single subatomic particle of your body could be taken beyond the speed of light and you vanish out of this world and you appear in another world. And you know the model for this is in Star Trek. Beam me up, Scotty. That's the key. Captain Kirk couldn't do it himself. He relied on Scotty in the mothership to activate the technology. The way ascension happens is that a super energy, it's a super energy resonance technology. What happens is you step into a chamber, you step into a door of light. The light, if the light is super energy, you step into that light. And what happens is the speed of energy in every subatomic particle in your body resonates to the higher speed, and you become super energy. vibration, you wouldn't cook, because that in physics is what happens when you increase frequency of vibration. Temperature goes up. We don't want that. And some of you have got nice clothes on, you know, we don't want to change the colour. If you've got a nice red cardigan, we don't want it to go blue, which again happens if you increase the frequency of vibration. You don't change the frequency of vibration. You change the intrinsic speed of energy in every atom of the body. And it's completely safe, completely unbelievable, incredible process. You just become a super energy body. So this is the potential of what we're talking about. It's the physics of ascension, which is this book, Awakening. What we're going to do with the Danish publisher is going to use that lotus. It's going to be the same cover, but it's going to have a different title, the super energy and the quantum vortex. That's at the end of this month, that's coming out. But anyway, so how does Sai Baba do what he does? How does psychic surgery work? What happens is this. How did Jesus disappear when they were going to stone him to death and appear somewhere else? How did Apollonius of Tyre disappear out of his trial in front of the Roman emperor who wanted to kill him and ended up hundreds of miles away and lived to a ripe old age? How did the shamans just disappear and ping somewhere else? How can you ping? Imagine that if you didn't have to have a car or travelling plane. You could just disappear out of here and appear in Australia. That would be kind of handy. That is possible. But you need a Scotty. You need someone operating the super energy technology. You need the beam on you that's switched off. But then they switch on the beam and you resonate to the energy of the beam. You see the beam, nobody else does. And beam, your body disappears and appears in the super energy world, and then you relocate it somewhere else. Now, the Scotties are super energy resonance technicians. Now, super energy resonance technicians is a bit of a mouthful. It's much easier to call them genie. The word genie comes from jinn, for spirit. So what I do in the book there, I also talk about Aladdin and his lamp. Because these stories, the story of angels and fairies, the stories of Aladdin and his lamp, they are teaching stories. They have a message for us. And what's possible? So with psychic surgery, what happened is the psychic surgeon was working with a fourth dimensional operator. And the psychic surgeon would just move his hand over the flesh of the patient, over the skin, and a hole would appear. He puts his hand in the hole, pulls out the tumour, goes like that again, and the hole disappears. No healing, no scar. What's going on? The super energy resonance operator is a surgeon on the fourth dimension, according to the Filipinos. The super energy resonance operator puts this flesh in that area in the beam. The flesh in that area resonates and becomes super energy. Because it's gone beyond space and time, there's nothing there. There's a hole. There's no resistance to the hand going in. He goes in, he does what he needs to do with a dirty old kitchen knife, cuts up the tumour, and then when he's finished, he just lets, with the movement of his hand, his genie know. Time to switch off the beam. The beam is switched off, the flesh just appears. Blood was coming through, became physical blood, became super energy blood, and then physical blood again on the other side. Just, it's a zone. You see the zones come out of space time. Okay. How did Sai Baba move those objects around? Well, apparently, what happened? They found this after he died. He had a warehouse in his ashram full of watches and jewellery, pendants. The pendants he'd had made, but watches and jewellery were gifts from devotees, because in India you give gifts to your guru. And he stored them on the shelf. And the people in the ashram said that they literally watched the watches and jewellery disappear off the shelf. What would happen is Sai Baba, when he had a Western individual there, instead of just giving them a watch out of his pocket, that wouldn't do anything for their faith. He telepathically lets his genie know, the spirit and know, his operator know, that he wants such and such a watch. He knows exactly where everything is in that store. He's got it in his head. And the operator puts that watch in the bin. The watch disappears off the shelf in the bin. It's translocated in the bin, right on top of Sai Baba's hand, and then the bin is switched off. Bing! The watch is there in his hand, and he gives it away. People say, it's a miracle! It must be God. Others say, oh, he's nothing but a magician, a sleight of hand. Doing tricks, like they said of Jesus when he was around. No, it's none of those. It's a very advanced technology that we're yet to discover. Look, if I were to turn up even 100 years ago with one of these, now I wouldn't dare turn up in the 14th century with one of these. If I am one of these in the 14th century, they'd burn me at the stake. I'd be a witch, or necromancer, or something. This would be magic, wouldn't it? This is simply an advanced technology of what we had even when I was a kid. So science does advance, technologies do advance, so maybe there are technologies yet to come. Like, how did Jesus feed the 5,000? Very soon, there are going to be changes on this planet, and very soon, the whole idea is that a group of us is volunteers, so take it that today you're receiving. You may, in the very near future, if you are just over 50% in service to others, over being in service to yourselves, that's the key for ascension. You've got to be more concerned for others than concerned for yourself. Okay? So as you actively show the universe that you are a caring person, and you want to ascend, and you're open to the idea, you'll be open, you'll be offered a door of light. This door of light is the end of a super energy teleportation beam. And it lasts for a minute or two. And if without hesitation you step into the beam, then the resonance occurs and you enter the next dimension. And in fact, with this first wave of ascension, it's going to be a spiritual lifting. Your bodies won't actually leave the planet, unless they're in danger and they need to be lifted out. But what happens is then, if you volunteer, you go into the next dimension, and we're prepared for work we have to do to help humanity. And we come back into our bodies, but the bodies are rejuvenated. So for us old people, that's great, because we need young bodies. Bodies rejuvenated. And we come back with powers. So we come back with the powers that Christ had. We come back with the powers that Sai Baba had, the powers that Shamans had. And we can use those powers, but really goes great responsibility, which is why you have to prove you're more there for others than for yourselves. People are selfish and they're just thinking of themselves all the time. They can't be trusted with these powers. The idea is we come back to heal people, to teach people, to tell them about the higher dimensions, to help them on their path, to help them wake up. Okay? And one of the things that will be happening is what you'll be able to do, duplication, because what's coming could be an escalation of this war. And it could be very difficult. People could be starving because the oil may not be there, the food may not be there. This is why this is planned. It's a divine plan to rescue humanity, to save humanity. us. You come back and say you've got, there's some food there. It's very important people aren't eating all the food. But the, say there's some brown rice, you've got a bag of brown rice, yeah? That's all that's left in the community. You get the bag of brown rice. I've eaten everything else, okay? And what you do is you use your hand as an anchor point. So that the spirit that's working with you, because when we're up in the super energy dimension, we'll be assigned operators. Okay? They know us, we get to know them, they work with us. And what will happen is the super energy will be beamed like a laser beam through the brown rice. And the brown rice bag, but the brown rice, acts like a template. Okay? And the energy condenses, the super energy condenses through the rice and duplicates. So you have 2 bags of brown rice, 4 bags of brown rice, 8 bags of brown rice. Remember the magic porridge pot story in the Ladybird books? Just like that. You've got nowhere to switch it off. In fact, the information we have is that because people find that a little bit disconcerting, we'll be working with duplication chambers. Much better if you put the bag of brown rice in a chamber and push a button. So it's a bit more technological. You're working with technology. People will find that easier to cope with than just watching duplicated bags of brown rice in front of their eyes. So the technology is there. It's easy to explain how these miracles are performed. You can actually regenerate a person. Because the super energy body, you know, the second body, is a duplicate of the physical body. You feed energy into the template of the physical body and regenerate all the cells. So you can get instant healing. Okay? So, how do UFOs work? Well, obviously, if the vortex theory is true, this theory is true, and let me just tell you that I've managed to explain the whole physics in terms of secret principle, and also I predicted the accelerated expansion of the universe before it was discovered. I got my prediction published in 1995. And the discovery of the accelerated expansion of the universe was actually predicted. It was published, the discovery was published in 1997, 2 years later, and in 2011, Saul Palamata, who has added the discovery, was received the Nobel Prize. Okay? So the thing is that I fulfill the criteria of the scientific method of explaining that most things with minimum assumptions and making the prediction of a future observation. So this is not a Mickey Mouse theory, it's a full-blown, proven scientific theory. Okay? And so it's that theory that backs up all this spiritual and super energy knowledge I've been talking about this evening. So has anyone got any questions?
What? Yeah.
So, you know, you talk about the dimensions being an analogy of, say, 90 miles an hour, 30, 60, 90.
Yeah.
Does that mean there's no end to the speed that the divine could then go?
Well, I work on a 13 level model. That's just what I work with. And it seems as though there are many, many levels of faster and faster and faster speed. So, difficult for me to answer that question with any certainty whether there's a limit. The universe tends to not have limits. So, it's a very, very good question. I did promise you about UFOs, I haven't even mentioned UFOs. Just to explain UFOs, if this physics is true, then other planetary civilizations, other civilizations in the universe will be able to operate it. And so they will be able to use this resonance technology to take their spacecraft, including themselves in an outer space-time sense. They're moving through space-time. They ping out of space-time, go into hyperspace, and then relocate again. Okay? So I explained the Philadelphia expansion. Experiments as well. But the other thing is crop circles. How do they do that? Very simple. Just like spacing. Yeah? They use a stencil. So they do a design, and they've got a stencil over the crop in super energy. You don't see it. And they simply flow. You see the ends. People have seen the little orbs moving over the crop and formation forms behind it. That is the end. That is the that being a super energy. What it does is the super energy condenses into physical energy for a microsecond inside the crop, and then the crop is folded down with their technology. Okay, and you just plasticize it, just turn it with steam, and if it's a short enough space of time, it doesn't kill the crop. And it's just plasticized over that template. So just as Banksy uses a wall, these people, beings in the super energy dimensions, I suppose you could call them fairies, call them angels, you could call them extraterrestrials. We don't know a lot about them. But what we know is that those crop circles are, crop formations, are evidence of very intelligent beings with very advanced technology. It's all in the book. So any other questions,
Simon? Well, I was just wondering earlier on, you said when you were talking about us as human beings in relation to super energy, you were saying it's very important for obvious reasons that our brains suppress our... Did you use the word consciousness?
Yes.
Now, why?
Yes. Because it was found that the spirits of the universe, the management of the universe, were not up to standard. And the original Elohim team, which were the angelic beings that were responsible for the whole beginning of this creation process, were challenged to bring the spirits up to their own level. And what happened is that they went through incredible difficulty, challenge, and adversity in the very first galaxy, setting up the templates of life. And so it was decided to use this planet as a zone, as a place where spirits could be brought through very, very difficult challenges. Not knowing who we are, being vulnerable. You know, if you think about it, if your consciousness, when it's out of suppression, is the same consciousness that creates the whole universe. So basically, you recognize your divinity. You are an aspect of the divine. You know everything. There's no secrets. Whereas here, you know nothing. There, you're everywhere. You can be everywhere all at once. Here, you're locked into a single point in space and time.
And when did this all kind of...
This has been going on for about 4 million years.
No, so it's not kind of infinite. Right?
No, we go through, the idea is we're going through a 26,000 year cycle. And it's broken up into four ages. Okay? And we go from an age, which is like kindergarten, where it's a golden age and everything's really sweet and wonderful. And then we advance through as a batch of souls through the next age, which is the silver age, which is where things are getting a little bit tough. That's like the iron age, you know, the stone age sort of thing, the hell togethers and things like that. And then we come into the next age, which is the age of brass or bronze, where it's getting really difficult. And that's like high school. So it's like we go through primary school, kindergarten, primary school, high school, and eventually we go to university. And this is the Kali Yuga, the age of iron.
So sorry, I don't want to...
No.
How about kind of an evolution from animals? Because a quarter of a million years ago is not too long.
It's in the book. What happened is that we are different to animals. We've got animal bodies, but actually there was a lot of genetic engineering going on. And we've been engineered to be in these bodies to go through these experiences we're going through. But it's for our evolution, for our learning. And so all the difficulties, all the warring and all the bitterness, this is all part of our education. We have to make mistakes, otherwise we don't learn from them. We have to learn the fruits of hatred. That's what that's how we choose love, you see the idea. I have got it all in the book, it's all explained, these yugas and ages, the great plan of ages, yeah.
I understood your theory of the watch appearing, the relocation of the watch from the cover to his hand. You then went on to talk about the duplication of bags of rice, etc.
Yeah.
I didn't understand where the second bag of rice came from or how it was produced. Could you explain that again?
Go through that again. Say we just go back to the loaves and fishes, okay? Or we'll stick with the bag of rice. The idea is the initial bag of rice is acting as a template. It's like a matrix, okay? It's an atomic structure. And the super energy being, under your instruction, beams super energy into that rice. And the super energy condenses into kernels of rice, duplicating them. So it's like the super energy condenses into physical matter through the rice and just becomes more rice. And it just goes on and on and on, and the rice will keep replicating, until you've got an ultimate rice. Okay?
Okay.
Does that mean the rice is alive?
Talking
about bodies.
Yeah, the rice, it doesn't require anything to be alive. You know, the side barber could move watches in and out of space time. You can, like a loaf of bread will have been baked, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So, what Jesus did is when he prayed over the loaves and fishes, he was communicating with his genie, with his super energy operator. And then when he blessed with his hands, that told the operator, okay, beam the energy through these loaves and fishes. And they ended up feeding 5,000 people and had 12 basketfuls of fragments.
That wasn't quite where I was going, really. I was thinking that the rice is a living thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a seed. And you were talking about how we have a body in the next speed up. I mean, so what is our body exact replica of what we've got?
Yes, it is.
Well, in that case, if you had bits of it replaced, what does that mean for the next body?
Well, the thing is that Sinai, there's a wonderful story, again, I've got in the book, of where an American was having an interview with Sinai. He wanted to take some photographs. He ran out of film, and stupidly, he forgot to bring a second roll of film. He was bitterly disappointed. So Sinai just went like that, plucked the roll of film out of thin air, gave it to the man. It was perfect. It was just the right film for his camera. So he edited it up and took photographs of Sinai. He went back to California and handed it in. Those were the days where you took your films, lots of films, to camera shops and got developed, you see. And a Neolithic Iron Age technology. And so the thing is that when he went back to collect his photographs, the man behind the counter said, I couldn't help noticing, he said, but the character on those photographs was absolutely identical to this man that came into our shop last week. He bought a roll of film. Just like that, because Sinai Baba has these orange robes and this Afro hairstyle, he's unmistakable. So the American said to this guy behind the desk, when was that? When did he come in? The man remembered. It was exactly when Sai Baba plucked the roll of film out of the air. So how did that happen? Well, it happened resonance technology, super energy was beamed through his physical body, and then the replica of him was translocated to America and appeared on pavement outside the shop. Walked into the shop to buy the film. Why didn't Cy Barber just get the operator to take the raw film off the shelf in California, pop it into his hand? Because that would have been shoplifting. He had to do a slightly more complex, and he had to have a few dollars to pay for this roll of film. But it is remarkable, you can do this technology to a big body as well as to a brain.
Is this the lowest sort of dimension? Is this the only planet on which it is, or are there loads and loads of them?
Well, the thing is this, there could be lower dimensions on other planets. Certainly on our planet, everything between zero and the speed of light is part of the energy dimension, physical energy dimension. So in a sense, yes, we are the lowest level. When you get to this next level up, because ours is part of that, you could say, well, that world's the lowest. Do you see what I mean? And then you get to, but there, so there are always worlds above. But as you go out, you encompass all worlds below you. So the rule is that when you get to a certain level, you can go down to any other level, but you can't go up unless you've graduated to that level. Okay? So a lot of you are ET, so I just come back, and then you graduate, you're coming to this planetary zone to go through a boot camp so that you can get to a higher level of evolution in the universe. So, what's your question?
Can I ask, if you're
from an out-of-body
experience,
but
it's not me, that experience?
Yes. An out-of-body experience is where the super energy body detaches. In other words, instead of dying, you just detach from the physical body and go off. You see the physical body, and you may go off on a journey in astral traveling or something like that. Or maybe you go through some experience where you just separate the body. The body can separate, but so long as it doesn't break the connection, there's another like a cord, like a silver cord that connects to the physical body, then you can snap back in again, yeah? Okay. So that concludes the talk. Oh, you've got another question.
What would you recommend that I can do with intention to make sure that I graduate a bit faster?
Sorry, what did you say?
How can I graduate a bit faster? What things can I do?
What can you do? Well, you know what Jesus said to them, celebrate and follow me, that sort of thing. But not so difficult as that. It's just to be conscious of other beings, other people. And just to, seize opportunities to be generous. Like maybe you give some money to a homeless person, but instead of giving them talents, you give them 20 quid, which is what they really need, I mean, doing to the talents. Just being a parent is amazing. You give yourself to welfare and care. And it's not just looking after human beings, it's looking after animals. But it's just, if your life is full of consideration for others, if you're doing things for other people, and you really put yourself out, you see. But a lot of people are just so selfish, they just don't think anything. They just want me, the whole thing. They're totally just alive for themselves, they don't give a damn about anybody else. It's that difference, if you can understand.
But why does that work?
Why does that work?
Yeah, why being selfless rather than selfish, why does that change the energy level?
It's the responsibility that goes with graduation. If you go through the ascension process and you graduate to a higher level, you have powers, and those powers require responsibility. And a lot of the problems in the past are associated with abuse of power. So it's like we're here to learn to be responsible.
But you said it's the science. What's the science behind it?
The science behind it is, when you read the Book of Enoch, he speaks about watchers. And it seems as though, everyone is being accounted for, every action is accounted for. So it's like we're going through continuous assessment. We are in the university, we are in an education program that we actually volunteer for, and we are being assessed. So the decisions are taken by our teachers, if you like, by the examiners.
Then that takes you into the realm of people who are
suicidal,
people who have mental health problems or have really bad and dealing in life. Where, how are they?
This is interesting. People very often choose a life where there's going to be mental health problems because these are lessons that they're learning, that they're going through. If people have a really difficult, challenging life, like Anna, the hugging guru, said, she says if you have a really easy life, it's like a curse. If you have a difficult, challenging life, then you're blessed. Because, you know, it grows in the spirit through the difficulties and challenges. But a lot of people are suffering from depression and anxiety and fear of death. This is because there's a part of them that knows they're here for a purpose. They're here to, you know, fulfill a certain criteria, and they're kind of missing that purpose. So they've got reason to be anxious. And that's why people coming onto the path, you see, helps them. So that keys us into the spies. I've got to move on to the spies now because they do take time.
Okay. What happens to the animals?
What's that?
What happens to the animals?
The animals, they have souls, as we do. And you'll find that if you've got pets that are special to you, very often you'll find they are in the next dimension. They've got the same pattern. They've got super energy bodies. And your pets will be there to greet you. Some people find when they pass over, it's their pets that come up to them for that first. So yeah, animals have souls, and we have to take responsibility for the way we treat animals. That's the next subject. So now, what we're going to do is we're going to have just a 5-minute break, but I don't want to break the energy. The idea is just anyone who doesn't want to participate in the blessing, I have to leave the space for them to make a getaway, okay? So only stay for the blessing if you're happy to receive the blessing. And the second thing is that when you receive the blessing, when you put the sabai on, what I do ask is this, is keep the sabai on for the duration. I'm going to sing a set of 7 or 8 songs. Keep your eyes closed, please don't open your eyes, and just go inside and just really give yourself to the experience. It can be very profound. So the thing is, if you open your eyes and you're looking around and distracted, it disturbs the energy for everybody else. So again, if you feel you can't sit still, you know, it's best to leave rather than, you know, you do need to be able to sit quiet for about 20 minutes it takes me to sing through the set of songs.
The energy, or the deity that I sing to comes through the sabai. So the colours are less important than the deity I'm singing to. Okay.
Thank you. Kuan Yin, your love touches all the world.
love touches all the world. Kuan Yin, we really love you. Kuan Yin, we honor your name. Kuan Yin, hold us in your heart as we journey on the earth. On the earth. On the earth.
Every female
darkness into light. Oh, I call on the valley, Claim Saint Germain, to transmute all darkness into light. I call on the violet flame, Saint Germain, to transmute all conflict into peace. Oh, I call on the violet flame, the Saint Germain, to transmute all conflict into peace. I call on the to transmute all sickness into health. Oh, I call on the violet flame of Saint Germain to transmute all sickness into health. Oh, I call on the sorrow into joy. Oh, I call on the violet flame, Saint Germain, to transmute all sorrow into joy. Oh, I call on the
the information where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.